Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 and also on audio streaming, alhamdulillah. And also you can log on to www.radioislam.org.za. Click on listen live and you can listen. And also, if you're on your smartphone, you can listen by downloading the TuneIn app. It's T-U-N-E-I-N, the TuneIn app. Select Radio Islam 1548 and alhamdulillah, you'll be able to listen wherever you are in the world. While you're busy globe-trotting, you can tune in and you can listen to us, alhamdulillah. That's the advantage of technology today. You need not sit in the comfort of your home only. While you are abroad enjoying yourself also, you may listen. While you're traveling wherever you are, while walking around, you may also have your headsets on, which is common, which happens many a times. While you have your headset on, you have your tune in, and while you're busy on the beach, whatever it may be, you sit and listen to us. And while we're talking of the white sandy beaches, we talk of the blue waters, crystal clear waters where you can see your toes when you're looking from the top of the water. While you are in that situation, you're listening to us mentioning that. Wow, alhamdulillah, how beautiful is that? But anyway, be that as it may, there's all different ways and methods and forms of listening to Radio Islam. You are not only restricted to the receivers. You can listen in very many different ways throughout the world. Alhamdulillah, we have listeners that contact us from time to time from different parts of the world. There's one very ardent listener, I would say, from Zimbabwe, which I get regular messages from. Jazakallah to you for sending me all those messages regularly. Alhamdulillah, I really, really appreciate it. And I pick up that you listen regularly because you know quite a bit of what we talk of, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, so great. Jazakallah to all the listeners out there. Jazakallah to one and all for inviting me into your homes by listening to me. Alhamdulillah, I really appreciate it. Apart from those few envious, but more than that, alhamdulillah, we really enjoy it. Now, there's been lots of people asking me about the drug program we had. It was the globe-trotting program, but we had it in the beginning of the year, the first week of the year, because we were not pushing much of the tourism part of it in the last 2 weeks in the first week of January, because lots of people were gone away. So we were just talking of a little tourism, and in particular we had this one program about drugs. I've been inundated with calls. Lots of people have called me wanting a follow-up on that. Unfortunately, I cannot do a follow-up on that. And if you want to, you may listen to the podcast. If you want to listen to the program again, you may listen to the podcast. It is on radioislam.co.za. And under podcasts, you go under Globetrotting Muhammad Lambat, and you'll find most of the programs listed there. You can listen to the program there. But unfortunately, due to some people or someone who complained about it, I don't know if they may have been on drugs, but they, unfortunately, we won't be able to talk about, we won't be able to do a follow-up on there, which I mentioned we'll probably do a follow-up. We won't be able to do a follow-up on there. But be that as it may, Allah knows best. We're trying to help people. We're trying to get people out of this. And also the Yunus Bismillah that we had spoken to, till today he is inundated with calls. He's now on a daily basis going out to different families, assisting with all these drugs, with the youngsters that are on drugs, families on drugs and so on, and he's assisting because he himself was a rehabilitated drug addict, and he knows what's it like, and he's going from home to home regularly. Although he's an accountant, during the day, at night he'll go out and he does this and he helps people. So if there's anybody that needed his assistance, you may listen to our podcast. It is on the website. You can listen to it. His details are there. Contact him. If you need assistance, please. Times are getting bad when it comes to these things. Really, really getting bad. We've seen it time and time again. A thing like that doesn't recognize families, doesn't recognize homes, doesn't recognize cousins, doesn't recognize gums, nothing. It just attacks. So please, if you need assistance, you listen to the program and you may contact him or contact me, I'll give you details. You may get assistance when it comes to things like that. We've just experienced last week with somebody else I know of that came to me talking about a 42-year-old gentleman who turned to drugs and he's now gone deep into it. And that is why this person said, please do follow-ups. We need to talk about these things. We need to get it out into the open. But unfortunately, we cannot. So Allah make it easy to all those and the envious, please. You know, just be wary of these things. But more than that, alhamdulillah, I just want to inform you, when it comes to going to the airport, please, when you are flying out, if you're boarding an international flight, Last week we were at the airport, we took the Vietnamese girls, alhamdulillah, they gone back, they qualified as Alimas, they gone back for the first two Alimas, qualified Alimas, they have now returned to Vietnam, and inshallah they're going to be starting their madrasas and so on there on that side, so inshallah Allah make it easy for them. But we took them to the airport last week. While at the airport, they almost missed their flight. Had they not been called forward because of their flight that was now going to be closing, they would have missed their flight. The international departures at the A terminal. The international departures passport control is closed. They're closed for renovations. They're not allowing anybody there. You may send your bags in at Terminal A. Your bags can go in, but you got to go and check in immigration at Terminal B. So be very careful when you're going. Make sure you go early. Go just in time, because the queues at Terminal B are snaking right out of the terminal counters that are there, the immigration counters, security checkpoints. Where if you know Terminal B, you'll know the security checkpoints have got that bull run, which has got like about five lanes. But last week, and also it's been happening, we've spoken to some people, and it's been happening daily, where the lines are snaking right out of the bull runs, right outside of the glass cage, going towards the escalators, and if not further down towards KFC and Capello's and that side, the lines are just snaking. And people are losing and missing their flights. While we were there, there was a lady that was just telling the family there, that her husband was there the day before he was due to fly out. He stood in those queues for such a long time. He stood there, and by the time he reached the front, the flight was gone already. He missed the flight, and he came the second day. He came very early, though. Yet he was in those queues, and he was praying that he does not miss his flight again. So be very careful. Go very early if you are taking an international flight, because it is, especially weekends, it is choking out there. It is very, very busy. You may miss your flight, because what's happening is when you come to security check, what they're doing is they're taking a few people only at a time. Because of the immigration side, the queues are just too long. So what they're doing is they're stopping you, and that's where the queues are just growing. And once the crowd is finished on the inside at the immigration side, they're letting people through from the security side. And that is now causing major, major issues. And then they're pulling people aside, obviously searching and whatever it may be. It really takes time. So the normal 1 and 2 hours that you've been taking before you take your flight, please try and double that if you can, either triple that 4 or 5 hours before if you have to. It's chaotic out there. I've seen it myself. It is chaotic. As I mentioned, reason being, Terminal A is under construction. They're busy renovating. It's not going to take very long, though. They're busy. I've spoken to somebody at EXA already. They're busy with all those counters. They're busy at the back also. So they are improving. They are improving it. So just be very wary and just make sure that you go and you're there in time. Inshallah. Just, you don't want to miss your flight. Definitely not. Okay. Today I want to talk on Cyprus. I want to talk on the country Cyprus. But before I go on, I came across something during the week. Somebody sent me something, and it was so appropriate, and I thought, let me read it out here. It says, Ant and a Wealthy Man. Some of you may have received it already on social media. One Sunday morning, a wealthy man sat in his balcony enjoying sunshine and his coffee when a little ant caught his eye, which was going from one side to the other side of the balcony carrying a big leaf several times more than its size. The man watched it for more than an hour. He saw that the ant faced many impediments during its journey, paused, took a diversion, and then continued towards destination. At one point, the tiny creature came across a crack in the floor. It paused for a little while, analyzed, and then laid the huge leaf over the crack, walked over the leaf, picked the leaf up on the other side, and continued its journey. The man was captivated by the cleverness of the ant, one of Allah's tiniest creatures. The incident left the man in awe and forced him to contemplate over the miracle of creation. It showed the greatness of the Creator. In front of his eyes, there was this tiny creature of Allah, lacking in size, yet equipped with a brain to analyze, contemplate, reason, explore, discover, and overcome. Along with all these capabilities, the man also noticed this, that this tiny creature shared some human shortcomings. The man saw about an hour later the creature had reached its destination, a tiny hole in the floor, which was entrance to its underground dwelling. And it was at this point that the ant's shortcomings that it shared with the man was revealed. How could the ant carry into the tiny hole the large leaf that it had managed to carefully bring to the destination? It surely simply couldn't. So the tiny creature, after all the painstaking and hard work and exercising great skills, overcoming all the difficulties along the way, just left behind the large leaf and went home empty-handed. The ant had not thought about the end before it began its challenging journey. And in the end, the large leaf was nothing more than a burden to it. The creature had no option but to leave it behind to reach its destination. The man learned a great lesson that day. Isn't that the truth about our lives? We worry about our family. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our children. We worry about how to earn more money. We worry about where we should live, a 5, 6, 7 bedroom house, what kind of vehicle to buy, a Mercedes, a BM, a Porsche, what kind of dresses to wear, what kind of fancy branded clothing to wear, and all sorts of things, only to abandon all these things when we reach our destination, and that is the grave. We don't realize in our life's journey that these are just burdens that we carry, and we are carrying with utmost care and fear of losing them, only to find that at the end they are useless and we can't take them with us. And yet, in this world, we go high, high, we go crazy, and we worship the wealth of this world. Let us ponder on that. Now, it's just something we should really, really think about. Now, Cyprus. Cyprus is tucked away in the top right-hand corner of the Mediterranean. It's so close to Europe, Asia, and Africa that it rightly claims to be a stepping stone to 3 continents. The 3rd largest island in the Mediterranean. 1. Cyprus lies off the southern coast of Turkey and the western shore of Syria. The highest peak is Mount Olympus at about 1,950 meters above sea level. An island whose rich dramatic history can be traced back over 9,000 years. An island so coveted over the centuries that it has been invaded and claimed by a fascinating mixture of civilizations from near and far, all of which have left their culture and shaped its character. An island whose archaeology stems from the Neolithic age, the ancient Greeks, and the Roman period. Although it is so small, and if you look on the map also, you'll find that the way it is situated, it's a very, very small island, which is just on, if you look at it, on the extreme right-hand side, you have Cyprus, and just above it, you have Turkey. So, it is an island which is surrounded by the Mediterranean Sea, and it's in the Mediterranean Sea. So you can imagine how beautiful that must be. And you're looking at an island where the churches, the monasteries still stand from the Byzantine times, the castles and palaces from the days of the Crusaders and the Frankish Lusignans, and the splendid city walls from the Venetian days. With such a historic and legendary background, it is hardly surprising that Cyprus has developed a character which is quite unique. It is blessed with beauty, natural beauty that ranges from golden beaches and rugged coastlines to rolling hills and forest-clad mountains dotted with picturesque villages. So you can imagine how beautiful is this small little island. Every year, approximately 2 million tourists visit Cyprus, either for vacation, because of the beautiful scenery that it has, the sweet Mediterranean climate, and the gold wonderful beaches, or maybe for tours attracted by various archaeological foundings and kingdoms from different ancient periods in history. Even though if the spring and summer seasons are preferred, the tourism period lasts for the entire year. Cyprus is connected with two flights every day by air with Greece. That's from the Athens International Airport. And with many different countries in the world, it is also connected twice a week with various ports of Greece for unforgettable cruises. Cyprus, and they also speak Greek there, so Cyprus is connected to Greece, and very much so where you have Greeks are in abundance in Cyprus. Then in Nicosia, as a visitor, you will visit, first of all, the old town, which is surrounded by the historic Venetian walls, as well as the very old churches of St. Sophia's. After the Turkish invasion, it had been converted into a masjid. And you get St. Ekaterinus. You can also see the old Armenian, Greek and Turkish neighborhoods with the narrow streets, the Byzantium churches, and the Zami. You can also visit the Archaeological Museum of Cyprus. And Cyprus, being such a small island, has great, great history. Because of all the different empires that came, that took over, you have the Byzantine Empire, you have the Ottoman Empire. During all those times, Cyprus was part of it all. And that is why you have so, so rich history. And Cyprus being a very, very beautiful island. Very beautiful. At the moment also, Cyprus, they're advertising out in the media for investments and to get citizenship in Cyprus. Very easy investment, and you can get citizenship in Cyprus. They are really marketing it. So you have all that. And then you have the visitor from Nicosia will travel towards the north coast, where you will find the romantic remains of the Middle Age castle of St. Ilario and the monastery of Pelopais, which is probably the most important of the island. From there, you will view the beautiful town of Kyrenia, with the Venetian port and castle. And then afterwards, you can travel towards the southeast coast to the town of Famagusta. On the way, you shouldn't forget to stop and view the Greek, the Roman remains of the ancient kingdom of the Salaminas. Famagusta is surrounded by huge Venetian walls where, according to the legends and history, remind you of the heroic resistance of King Othello and the Venetians to the Turkish invasion in about 1571. From there, you can visit the village of Hagia Napa, where you can enjoy the sea in the sun and the beautiful gold beaches. After the Turkish invasion in 1974, the small village became the number one village in Cyprus for tourist attraction. That's when the Turkish were, when they've taken over the Cyprus. The trip continues towards the southeast coast to the town of Larnaca, with the major international airport of the island. After the Turkish occupation of Nicosia Airport in 1974, Larnaca is also an important port for international trade. And there, you will be able to travel south to Limassol. It is a beautiful town. The second in population after Nicosia, Nicosia being the biggest. And then the major attractions of tourists for the nightlife, there you can visit the old castles of Limassol and Colossi. And you can also continue the trip towards the northwest coast. As soon as you get out of Limassol borders, you will see the excavations in the ancient kingdom of Karyam. And then you travel across the west where you will reach the ancient town of Paphos. But in the way, you will view the Petra to Romeo, where, according to the legends, is the birthplace of Venus, the ancient Greek god, if you know your history about that, the ancient Greek god of beauty. In Paphos, you will see the remains of the famous temple of Venus, the Middle Age castle, and the wonderful villa, the Roman villa, that you'll find there also. And then as you go in the island itself, you have all your beach resorts, you have all your holiday resorts, which are all coastal. And the whole island, as we know, an island is surrounded by water. So you have the beauty of the white waters around in the island. We'll continue after the news.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globe Trotting Program, Alhamdulillah, where we talk travel, shukar alhamdulillah. And today, in particular, we're talking on Cyprus. Cyprus is a place, is a country, is an island, which is a, I would call it a total holiday destination. As we heard, where Cyprus is situated, we've got Turkey on the north, we've got on the eastern side, you've got Syria, and then on the western side you have Greece, and you have Lebanon, Beirut, just to the bottom, which is southeast, I would say. So you have it right in the middle of all that, and it's an island to be. It's an island to go to. What a beautiful island. And you have your, it's in the Mediterranean Ocean, Mediterranean Sea. Beautiful, beautiful sandy beaches. Lovely, lovely, lovely crystal clear waters that you have around. And you can just enjoy yourself. Chill out and relax. And the advantage is, which I'm going to mention now shortly, Islam is huge in Cyprus. Alhamdulillah. So that gives us even more the excuse of going to Cyprus. Inshallah. The districts of Famagusta and Kyrenia are nowadays under the Turkish occupation since the Turkish invasion in 1974. Travelers arriving in the Republic of Cyprus may enter the Republic only through the legal ports of entry, that's Larnaca and Paphos International Airports, or the ports of Larnaca, Limassol and Paphos. The ports of Famagusta, Kyrenia, Karavostasi, as well as the airports in the part of the Republic illegally occupied by the Turkish invasion forces have been declared by the government as prohibited ports of entry and exit, and no passengers should enter or leave through those other ports. But obviously when you're doing your bookings, you'll have the correct ports of entrance and exits. Now, Cyprus was the site of early Phoenician and Greek colonies. For centuries, its rule passed through many hands. And it fell to the Turks in 1571. And a large Turkish colony settled on the island. So that made the difference, and that brought Islam onto the island. In World War I, this is now in the early 1900s, at the outbreak of hostilities with Turkey, Britain annexed the island. It was declared a crown colony in 1925. The Greek population, which regarded Greece as its mother country, sought self-determination and union with Greece. In 1955, a guerrilla war against British rule was launched by the National Organization of Cypriot Combatants. And in 1958, the Greek Cypriot nationalist leader, he was an archbishop, he began calling for Cypriot independence rather than a union with Greece. During that time, Turkish Cypriots began demanding that the island be partitioned between Greek and Turkish populations. Cyprus became an independent nation on August 16, 1960, after Greek and Turkish Cypriots agreed on a constitution which excluded both the possibility of partition as well as of union with Greece. Makarios became the country's first president. Fighting between Greek and Turkish Cypriots flared up in the early 1960s, and a UN peacekeeping force was sent to the island in 1965. On July 15, 1974, Archbishop Makarios was overthrown in a military coup led by the Cypriot National Guard, and on July 20th, Turkey invaded Cyprus, asserting its right to protect the Turkish Cypriot minority. Turkey gained control of 30% of northern Cyprus and displaced some 180,000 Greek Cypriots. A UN-sponsored ceasefire was established on July the 22nd of that year, and Turkish troops were permitted to remain in the north. In December 1974, Makarios again assumed presidency. In the following year, the island was partitioned into Greek and Turkish territories separated by a UN-occupied buffer zone. And then Turkish Cypriots proclaimed a separate state under Rauf Denktash in the northern part of the island on November the 15th, 1983, as early as that, naming it the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus. The UN Security Council, in its resolution of November 18, 1983, declared the action illegal and called for withdrawal. No country except Turkey has recognized this entity. In 1988, a conservative and critic of UN proposals to reunify Cyprus became president. The purchase of missiles capable of reaching the Turkish coast evoked threats of retaliation from Turkey in 1997. And Cyprus's plans to deploy more missiles in August 1999 again raised Turkey's ire. Now, it's all politics when it comes to a small island like that, and simply because of the island and the value the island has on the face of this earth. And then you have Islam, which was introduced when the island finally fell to the Ottoman invaders in 1571. Prior to this, the Muslim presence on the island was just, there was nothing, with Arab raiders intermittently visiting and plundering coastal settlements. But it has very, very rich Islamic history. Before the Turkish invasion of Cyprus in 1974, the Turkish Cypriots, the Muslim community of Cyprus, made up 18% of the island's population and lived throughout the island. Today, most of the estimated 270,000 to 280,000 Muslims are based in the north of the island. As small as the island is, we have almost 280,000, if not more now, on the island, Muslims. Turkish Cypriot society is markedly secular, though, and at least formally adherent to the faith, subscribe exclusively to Sunni Muslims, alhamdulillah, with an influential stream of Sufism underlying their spiritual heritage and development of Nazim al-Qubrusi, the leader of the Naqshbandi group as well. And then they lived in Lefka, which is also part of the island. And there are a few Ahmadi Muslims in the country also. And now I believe that there are some Shias also entering Cyprus currently. So there's a mix of all the different denominations which are now going onto the island. Islam came they came early during the early, Arab conquest, though a permanent presence only followed after 1571. And it is rumored that an aunt of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now let's listen to this one. It is rumored that an aunt of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umm Haram, had accompanied one of the early Arab expeditions to the island. The aunt of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accompanied one of the early Arab expeditions to the island. She fell off a mule, passed away, and was entombed at the present Hala Sultan Tekke Shrine. So her grave is still in Cyprus, the aunt of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since the Turkish invasion of Cyprus in 1974, the Muslim population in the north of the island has been bolstered by settlers from Turkey who are almost exclusively Sunni Muslims. And the status of these settlers is disputed under international law, and specifically the prohibition under the Geneva Convention, which is obvious. The West is going to oppose all these things. And when it comes to the strength of Islam, wherever it is, the West is going to oppose, definitely. And on the cross-border transfer of populations by states aiming to engineer changes in the demographic makeup of the other states. Then you have the Islamic shrines and the important landmarks which exist on the island, which includes the Arab Ahmed Masjid, which is in Nicosia, which was built in the 16th century. Then you have the Hala Sultan Tekke, which is called the Umm Haram Masjid in Larnaca, built in the 18th century. The Lala Mustafa Pasha Masjid and the Salimia Masjid and the Haider Pasha Masjid. It was a former Catholic cathedral left for the Crusaders era, which were meant to cater exclusively to the Catholic minority which ruled the island, and were converted to masjids after the Muslim conquest in the Middle Ages. Located in the eastern Mediterranean Sea is the beautiful island country of Cyprus, divided into Greek Cypriot and Turkish Cypriot. And the country has fascinating Islamic history and culture, and is thus packed to the brim with the attractions of all kinds, making it the ideal place for a holiday also. And the question is Cyprus a Muslim country? What is the predominant religion in Cyprus? Will it be a great destination for Muslim travelers? Islam in Cyprus has been present since 649. That is during the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already. When the island was conquered by Uthman, the third Khalif of the Arab Rashidun Empire, but settlers from Turkey during the 1974 Turkish invasion of Cyprus strengthened the presence of Islam. Although most of the country is Christian today, Muslims make up a large percentage of the Cyprus population. Turkish Cypriots, Greek reverts, and settlers from Turkey and other countries now make up the population of the Muslims in Cyprus. The northern Cyprus is home to a significant part of this Muslim population, and is therefore very, very Muslim friendly, and is frequented by Muslims from across the globe. We find lots of Arabs going to Cyprus, lots of Arabs visiting simply because of the history of Cyprus. Being such a small island, it has great Islamic history. So we look at Cyprus, whenever we hear of Cyprus and we look at Cyprus, we do not know the Islamic part of it, the Islamic history of Cyprus. But yes, it is. It has very, very rich Islamic history. There are quite a number of masjids in Cyprus, which were once Byzantine churches. They converted during the Ottoman rule. Muslims visiting Cyprus will therefore be able to find masjids in northern Cyprus especially. There's much, much more in northern Cyprus. Southern Cyprus you will find, but there's less concentration of Muslims towards the south. The city of Nicosia is home to a large Muslim community, and that's the biggest city. The masjids in Nicosia include the Salimia Masjid, which is the city's main masjid, and also a top tourist attraction, the Arab Ahmad Masjid, the Bayraktar Masjid, the Arabla Masjid, the Umeri Masjid, and then you have the Tatel Khale Masjid. They are just some of the main masjids in Nicosia. And there are many, many more. And we know all those masjids have got Turkish architecture, and they're all built by the state, so it's beautiful masjids. Also, they do have tours when you go to Cyprus. They have day tours, complete tours going to all the different masjids in the different cities. You can go and do tours like that where they can take you to all the Byzantine, you can go to the churches which were converted to masjids, and you'll see the resemblance. You'll see that they were churches and converted to masjids now. It's all visible right through the island. You will see it, and it's all clearly visible. And then you have in the northern coast of Cyprus, the city of Kyrenia, which is predominantly Turkish and Turkish Cypriot. Muslim visitors will therefore be able to find masjids in Kyrenia, namely the beautiful Aga Kefe Pasha Masjid. And Muslims in search of masjids in Larnaca on the southern coast of Cyprus will also be able to find quite a few. The Hala Sultan Teki, situated on the shores of the Larnaca Salt Lake, is one of the most well-known masjids in Larnaca and is also a popular tourist site. Other masjids in Larnaca include the Jami Kabir, the Zuhuri Masjid, the Tusla Masjid, and Limassol, which is a city on Cyprus' southern coast, also houses a sizable number of Muslims. The main masjid in Limassol is the Grand Masjid, which is located in its old town. Muslims visiting Limassol will also be able to offer Juma prayers at the Jami Jadid Masjid. And then also the southern coast of Cyprus is the resort town of Hagia Napa, which is home to one masjid, which is Masjid Sayyidina Ibrahim, which is there, all which is in Hagia Napa. And Muslim tourists will also be able to find a few masjids in the Paphos district, although there are quite a few more than those mentioned here that we can give you, just a few that we can see. Many masjids in Cyprus are quite old, because as we know, from 649, Islam was present, but after 1571, when Turkish rule, Islam became the predominant religion first of all there. And that's where things changed. Masjids started popping up all over. And therefore, you know, some of them are closed because they're so old. Most of them have been renovated and continued. Some of them have been made into musallas just for namaz for the people around in the area. So all those, there's still great activity there. Then also, if you're in search of halal food in Cyprus, you'll obviously be able to locate in the areas, in lots of these areas where you find the masjids there. While there are not many halal restaurants in Cyprus city itself, which is official halal restaurants, but there are lots of small halal restaurants, and to locate some eateries that serve halal dishes, you will find in Cyprus. Northern Cyprus is the best place for Muslims to find halal food. As we mentioned, Northern is predominantly Muslim. So there you will definitely find Turkish halal food, most of it Turkish halal food. Delicious Turkish dishes as well as Cypriot specialities. They are served in most of the restaurants. And you have their specialities, which they have the halloumi cheese, the kebabs, the Turkish delights. All that comes from the northern part of Cyprus. The best way to try out the diverse local cuisine would be to order the mezi, which consists of a variety of small dishes containing a selection of all these different things, together from salads to creamy hummus and grilled meats and so on. While halal food in the northern Cyprus will be easy to find, Muslim tourists will find a little difficulty in the southern side, which you don't find official halal places because it's more Christian on the southern side. But there are lots of halal restaurants on the southern side, but you've got to go out and look for it, unlike the northern side, where most of it is all halal. And you'd find that they have authorities there which insist that all these restaurants cater for halal because they know the need of the halal when it comes to visitors coming from abroad, because they know that there's lots of Muslim visitors from abroad coming there simply because of the halal status of the island. And then you also have numerous restaurants which have vegetarian and seafood dishes. So if being an island, you definitely will get seafood dishes, which is any island that you go to throughout the world. When it comes to their seafood dishes, obviously you've got to go and make sure that there's no liquor or anything, and make sure that it's done the right way, which many a times you go and they will do that, they will do it properly, and you'd find that you get the most delicious seafood dishes on any island, because obviously you being on an island, what more do you expect? Right around you is just all the fish that you'll get there. There are a few shops also that sell halal meat throughout the island. Muslim visitors are able to prepare their own meals and therefore buy their own meat at the butchers, and they can do their own because there's lots of these self-catering apartments which if you want to, you can do your own cooking. You can experience the quiet rhythms of country life, the customs, the homestyle cooking, and the hearty hospitality of the village people. Stay in beautiful renovated traditional accommodation. You can stroll through the fragrant gardens, orange and lemon groves, and you'll encounter Cyprus at its authentic best. Picturesque old villages such as Fikardo, Omodos, Lefkara, Eskas, the Kakopetria, they are models of unspoiled Cypriot naturalness and simplicity. If you go in there for a week, believe me, you will have the best of time. You'll be almost in a Muslim place with all your halals, and you have all your tourist attractions, which are island, so you can imagine how beautiful that will be. You have your old villages, and then you can take a dip in the warm blue waters of the Mediterranean Sea. The crystal clear Mediterranean waters offer sunbathers, swimmers, virtual paradise, believe me. The calm, transparent waters are ideal for sea and water sports, lovers for an unforgettable holiday. Beaches in Cyprus have been voted to be the most beautiful and the cleanest in Europe. Make it a point to go there. Put it on the bucket list. Cyprus is the place to go to. Then you have your rural experiences, where Cyprus' rural terrain is ideal for adventure sports such as cycling, climbing. You have cycling season that runs from November to March, when mild winter conditions attract some of the world's top road and mountain bike teams for training camps and competitions. Spring is the perfect time to explore the countryside swathed in kaleidoscope color. Head to Stavros, this forest reserve, to see the cypress mufflon, where a rare type of wild sheep that can only be found in Cyprus, and that you'll find there during that time. Then don't miss the coffee, where you have the visit to the museum village of Fikardo. The entire village is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The entire village is a heritage site. The village preserves its old traditional historic style and offers tranquility to anyone who visits there. During your tour, you can stop in the mountainous region and have coffee in the village square, walk around the picturesque streets, and visit the different museums belonging to residents of the village. Then for the golfers out there, Golf is also one of the biggest sports that are in Cyprus. You can also rent a yacht. Discover Cyprus from the sea. You rent a yacht and sail the blue waters of the Mediterranean Sea for a unique experience. Fast yachts of extremely luxury class, high technological and completely equipped, will satisfy even the most demanding visitor. You can choose a mini cruise, a full day sunset cruise, half day trips, moon cruises, tuna and octopus fishing cruise. Wow, how beautiful is that? And then you have the special interest activities. You have the biking, hiking on the plains of those mountains, winter sports, swimming, diving, snorkeling, water skiing, scuba diving, sailing, shooting, tennis, golf, horse riding, hang gliding, parachuting, angling, fishing. The list goes on and on and on as to what you can do there. At one time, the Umeria Hammam was one of the only public steam baths in Nicosia, and it was there where the fathers and sons, mothers and daughters used to go for their weekly bath, and this was certainly a social event. The Hammam, with its impressive dome and beautiful stone architecture, was built next to the city's main masjid in 1570 by the Ottomans who ruled Cyprus. The new Hammam was dedicated to Khalif Umar, and the whole area quickly became known as Umeria. Over the years, the Hammam fell into disrepair and it was closed in 2002. Over the following 3 years, the Hammam was painstakingly restored to capture its original character, and when it reopened, it quickly became popular as the perfect way to step back in time and relax after a busy week at work. And in 2006, the restored Umeria Hammam was awarded the prestigious Europa Nostra Award. That is Cyprus. That is a holiday to go to. That is a place to go and relax and take your mind off this whole rat race and all the out of the world and enjoy yourself and throw it behind you. From myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.